Have you ever been around a young child learning to tell jokes? Long before I started teaching at UGA, I spent several years as a preschool teacher. I loved working with toddlers and babies, but one of my favorite age groups was 4- and 5-year-olds. They are some of the most self-confident people you will ever meet. You might hear, "Look at my drawing, I'm such a great artist," or "I'm the fastest runner ever." And preschoolers are a joy because they're starting to discover humor in the world. They love to tell jokes, and they often start laughing before they even reach the punchline. Where do elephants keep their clothes? In their trunks. How do you get a squirrel to like you? Act like a nut. How do we know the ocean is friendly? It waves. Most of the jokes we learn as young children include words with dual meanings. A trunk is an elephant's nose and upper lip, but it's also a large storage chest. Wave can be the motion of the ocean water or a gesture to say hello to someone. And the dual meaning is what catches our attention and makes us laugh or sometimes groan. Today's story also relies on dual meanings to tell a story that's deeper and more complex than it may appear at first. Part of this passage is a very familiar one to most Christians. It includes one of the best known lines of any of the Gospels. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." It's a scripture passage that appears on bumper stickers and wall plaques. Quarterback Tim Tebow used to write it in white on his eye black before football games. Reverend Billy Graham called it his favorite scripture and described it as the gospel in miniature. Over the ages, this line of scripture has guided the faith of many people. And yet there is more to this seemingly clear and simple passage than meets the eye. Let's take a look at the story that surrounds this passage. And as we start, keep in mind that the fourth gospel, the one we call the Gospel of John, was probably written between 80 and 100 years after the birth of Christ for an audience that included both Jewish and Gentile believers in Christ. Its primary purpose was to convince listeners that Jesus is the Messiah so that they might have eternal life in the kingdom of God through their belief in Jesus. So kind of a tall order. So the story that Nancy just read for us began in darkness. After Jesus changed water into wine at the wedding at Cana, Jesus and his new followers traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Jesus entered the temple and drove out the merchants selling cattle, sheep, and doves inside. His actions drew the attention of many people, including the Jewish leaders, who heard stories about this rabbi and disapproved of the way he seemed to stir up the crowds around him. They began to watch him carefully and suspiciously, fearing that his growing popularity would threaten their authority and bring retribution from the Roman occupiers of Jerusalem. But one of those Jewish leaders, a Pharisee named Nicodemus, was intrigued by this Jesus and wanted to learn more. Nicodemus has gotten an unfair negative reputation over the years because he did not meet with Jesus openly during the daytime and because he failed in this passage to understand what Jesus taught him. Starting in the 16th century, the term Nicodemite was used as a derogatory term for people who sympathized with movements for church reform but were reluctant to identify themselves publicly in support of them. But imagine for a second what it might have been like to be Nicodemus, a leader of the synagogue, possibly a member of the Supreme Leadership Council known as the Sanhedrin. He was probably wealthy, definitely prominent, and well known around Jerusalem. He knew that being seen in public with Jesus the Messiah, who was already being identified as a dangerous rebel, could be dangerous, not only to his reputation, but to his position in the Jewish leadership. And yet he was intrigued by the signs from this rabbi and recognized him as someone possibly sent by God. He did not really understand the true identity of Jesus, and so he came to learn more. So the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus began innocently enough. Nicodemus acknowledged that he and other Jewish leaders saw Jesus as a teacher sent from God. He was evaluating Jesus by the standards of his faith and culture. And yet Jesus responded in a way Nicodemus did not expect. He answered a question Nicodemus had not asked: how do I enter God's kingdom? Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. It's a phrase that has been quoted over and over in the centuries since John's gospel was written, yet many listeners, including Nicodemus, do not fully understand this passage because of a single Greek word with a dual meaning. In the original Greek, Jesus stated that no one could see the kingdom of God without being born anathen. Anathen can mean from above, but also again or anew. Some English translations of the Bible translate this phrase as born again. This is where the modern idea of born again Christians comes from. Other translations use born from above. Nicodemus heard only born again and asked a very reasonable question. How could a person who was already born re-enter their mother's womb? They can't, of course. It's impossible. And yet this seemingly nonsensical statement was intended to be provocative, to encourage Nicodemus and us to open our imaginations and reconsider our relationship with God. It was and is an invitation to step out of the darkness of unbelief and into the light of mature belief in Jesus the Christ. The ambiguity of born anathen was intentional. Jesus was telling his followers that to be a follower of Christ required new birth, being born a second time from the water into a new life generated by God above through the action of the Spirit. Just as a side note, the Greek word for spirit also means breath and wind. Being born again is sometimes used as a test of whether an individual's faith is valid. But Jesus' requirement of being born anathen was not intended as a test. Being born anathen is both a requirement and an invitation from God. It's not something we can do on our own. It requires the action of God and of the Spirit. The God revealed in Jesus is a God whose love knows no bounds, a God whose love is freely given. God offers that love freely to everyone and only asks that we accept it. The Spirit operates like the wind, by moving in our lives in ways we cannot predict or understand, ways that push us deeper into faith. Many people who read this story see darkness as negative. Nicodemus came to Jesus under cover of darkness because he was afraid to be seen with this controversial rabbi. Many biblical scholars interpret light as a metaphor for the presence of God in Jesus, and darkness as a metaphor for separation from God. But darkness can also have a positive side. It can be seen as nurturing and inviting, as a place of new beginnings. Darkness makes it easier to embrace vulnerability and to take first steps toward new things. Barbara Brown Taylor, a well-known American author and Episcopal priest, explored the imagery of darkness in her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark. She said, quote, "New life starts in the dark, whether it is a seed in the ground, a baby in the womb, or Jesus in the tomb, it starts in the dark," end quote. Perhaps there is a nurturing quality to the dark as a space for new beginnings and for transformations. The experience of African Americans enslaved in the United States gives us a clear example of the transforming power of darkness. During American slavery, slave owners controlled all aspects of slaves' lives, including their faith. Slaves were not allowed to hold worship services and rarely, if ever, had access to the Bible. And so they turned to darkness. Under cover of night, when their owners were not watching, they held religious gatherings, retold stories from the Gospels, and sang songs of faith that spoke deeply to their experience as slaves. Some of the best known are Go Down Moses and Wade in the Water. Some of these spirituals also gave instructions to those looking to escape slavery. Steal Away to Jesus was used to alert others that a secret religious gathering was happening. And Swing Low, Sweet Chariot included secret messages guiding people toward freedom in the North, with the chariot representing the Underground Railroad. These slaves drew inspiration for their faith from this story of Nicodemus. They saw his nighttime visit to Jesus as proof that it was possible to grow in faith, even when those in power forbade it. Despite their owner's rules, many slaves came into the light of faith through gatherings that happened in the darkness. The last part of this scripture passage had a different purpose for the readers. After asking, how can these things be, Nicodemus faded out of the story, and Jesus continued a narrative directly for the Johannine Christian community. This narrative included the famous passage of John 3:16, a statement that describes the dimensions of God's love. God's love is broad enough to encompass the whole world, including those who do not yet know or believe in Jesus the Messiah. God went to great lengths to demonstrate that love for the world by giving up his only son. God goes to the depths where people are perishing and lifts them up to eternal life, just as Jesus was lifted up on the cross. God has gone to great lengths to express God's concern and affection for the world. And God continues to speak through us, through our acts of compassion for our neighbors near and far. This passage is an important part of the Lenten season because it reminds us of our mortality. And yet it is also a passage that offers us deep and abiding hope. God stands with us, even in the most difficult depths of life, with the promise of raising us up to eternal life. The phrases kingdom of God and eternal life are used to mean the same thing, a promise of God's new age. It's not just an endless extension of this worldly life. It's a new order of being and a new way of living in the age to come. But there's one more piece of John 3:16 that is not as it seems, a piece that makes living a life of faith in Jesus the Messiah sometimes challenging. We often hear the word believe as a passive verb, describing a feeling or a mental state. But when Jesus used the word believe in John 3:16, he meant something more like have faith in. And the faith he was describing is an active faith. It's a faith that goes and does, that shares the good news, that helps our neighbors, that recognizes that God's love does not have favorites. We tend to focus on the ways we are different. We tend to divide people into categories, right and wrong, good and bad, friends and enemies. And we use those categories to build walls to keep out those who are not like us. It is the love of God through Christ that enables us to connect with each other. German pastor and peace activist Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lived through the horrors of Nazi Germany, once said, quote, "We are separated from one another by an unbridgeable gulf of otherness and strangeness, which resists all attempts to overcome it by means of natural association or emotional or spiritual union. There is no way from one person to another. Christ stands between us, and we can only get in touch with our neighbors through him," end quote. Catholic priest Father Frederick Faber wrote a hymn called "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy" that reminds us of God's expansive love. Here are a few verses of this 12-verse hymn. "There's a wideness in God's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice which is more than liberty. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more single, we would rest upon God's word and our lives would be illumined by the presence of the Lord. But we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify his strictness with a zeal he will not own. Was there ever kinder shepherd, half so gentle, half so sweet, as the Savior who would have us come and gather at his feet? The challenge as we grow and change in our faith is to step out of the darkness and into the light, to honor our differences while also affirming our deep connection as human beings and as beloved children of God. And our God is a God of welcome, kindness, and mercy. Amen.